and that you work, and so that the money you earn is yours because it's your body. You worked, you got the job, you studied, and so therefore, because it's your money, you can do with it whatever you want because you earned it. And that's the world's way of thinking about money, and that is the view that's taught really on our in our social media, in our classrooms, in our seminars, that hey, you went out, you're a self-made man, sweaty your brow, you earned the money, you got up early, you can do with it whatever you want. That's one way that you can handle your money. The other way is there's God's way, which is very different, and that the Bible says in Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it.
Amen.
The world and all who live in it. So one is a very selfish view, saying, I earned it, it's my body, I studied, I got up, I did it. And the other is like, no, my body is the Lord's. Mm-hmm. My talent is the Lord's. My mind is the Lord's. All of this belongs to the Lord, right? So therefore, everything I accomplish with my body, with my mind, with my work, my family belongs to the Lord. So God's way says, if you have stuff, it belongs to God. And so if you have stuff that belongs to God, you should use them according to the way God wants you to, right? You have stuff. So like, you'll use them according to the teaching in Scripture and God's leadership in your life through the Holy Spirit. So the point is that you've got stuff. God allowed you to accumulate that stuff. God gave you the ability to accumulate that stuff. God blessed you with some of that stuff. God actually gave you some stuff that you don't deserve.
Amen.
He was kind to you.
Amen.
And you're going to use this to glorify God. You're going to use this to glorify God. Now, that's not so different in a way from, like, if you're married, God gave you a spouse, right? God gave you and your spouse children. And you're to teach your children and love your wife and partner with her according to God's word and according to His leadership in your life. Amen?
Amen.
So when it comes to money, I believe that it's a person's attitude towards money, not the money itself. But it's the person's attitude towards money that determines whether the money's good or bad in your life. You know, it's not the money itself, it's your attitude, like how you view the money. Let's talk about what Jesus said in Matthew 6. What did Jesus say? He said, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them and thieves break and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. And he says something very interesting, which is really in line with what Dr. Jamal said this morning, you know, about desire. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. You know, your eye is a lamp that provides light to your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. Then Jesus goes on to say something very powerful here. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. You know, a lot of people walk around thinking they're seeing clearly and they're not, right?
Amen.
They think they see clearly and they absolutely don't. And then Jesus goes on to say, no one can serve two masters. So he doesn't say if you're really smart, you can serve two masters. He doesn't say it's really hard, but if you're really organized, you can somehow do it. He says no one can. Like, no one. Ultimately, what Jesus says, something takes the number one position in your life. Something. Nothing is ever always equal, right? It's not like if you had co-champions in college sports, right? There's something always takes the number one position. He says, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So it gets to this point about how we handle it, how we recognize, is it something that God grants us, that gives us, that He allows us to earn, to use for His glory, or are we selfish? and we say that it's all mine, I'll do with it wherever you want it. Thanks God, it has nothing to do with you. Or thanks for letting me breathe, but I'm going to do with it what I want, right? God doesn't want that for your life. So what do I think about this? And I think it's important that we address this, because if we don't grasp this, I don't know how we handle our resources correctly. If we don't grasp this, is anything that comes between God and us is an idol. Doesn't matter what it is, right? So some of you know I have a 23-year-old young man who's my son who has severe disabilities, has severe autism and associated disabilities. And so we found this out when he was 2. And so my wife and I have done everything we can to raise him, to move him forward, to take care of him, to love him. And all that sounds noble, right? As I should do, as my wife and I should do. But when you love something so much, sometimes you can make a god out of it, right? So this biggest struggle that I've had in my life with my relationship with my son and my family is my tendency to place my son's disability in the number one position. Does that make sense? And it's not intentional. It doesn't mean like, I don't say, well, God, you're number two today. My son's number one. It's this creepy crawl that you suddenly realize, wait a minute, I've put this thing, I've set up this thing, I've constructed this idol that is over God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So money can do stuff like that, because like we need money, we need resources to live. Hey, Mike, how you doing? We need resources to live, we need resources to have our home, right? To eat. Those sorts of things. And so it can take the number one position in your life, and you may not even start out thinking that way. And it's just kind of a crawl, like a creep, right? So money can interfere with your relationships, such as your spouse, children, work, church. How many pastors do we have in here? I have pastors in here. So you ever led a church business meeting and it's gone bad? Like over money? And people want to do, you ever, your church members, you ever been in a bad business meeting when it over money? Hey, you ever fought with your spouse over money? Right? Right? You know? And so it can interfere with relationships. It really can. And so what does God not want broken? Relationship, right? God doesn't want relationship broken. And so coming to grips with this kind of stuff is really part of the key to handling money correctly. And so your attitude towards your money is really an indicator of what I would call your heart condition. Because ultimately, what God wants, He wants you to have a new heart. That's what He wants, right? He wants you to have a new heart. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27, then I'll sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away and you will no longer worship idols, right? You'll no longer, money can be an idol, right? And I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. So one of the things that we have a tendency to do as humans, and I really do have a tendency to do this, is to control everything. Right? A tendency to control everything. Right? We want to control our schedule. And we want to control the narratives. And we want to control what people think about us. And we want to control the impact that happens to our family. And there's so much that's out of our control, right? So much. But our tendency is to try to control stuff. And so God wants to give you a new heart. He wants you to be tender and responsive. And He wants you to follow His decrees and not worry so much about control. Let Him control. So can I give you some principles for managing your money? Can I do that?
Yeah.
We're not to love it. That's number one. You're not to love it. You know, if you love money, you'll do some strange things to accumulate it, right? You'll do some strange things. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. We know this as believers. Money is not the root of all evil. Horribly misquoted verse, but... But the love of money is a root. Like, it is a root of all kinds of evil. We're not to love it. We're not supposed to love money. So can we talk about an example of loving money that Jesus gave us, the rich farmer? We talk about the rich farmer. So in Luke chapter 12, Jesus talks about the rich farmer. He said a rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. Remember, this is an economy back then where agriculture was like cash today, right? He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. I've got all this, like, these crops. Like, equivalent to saying, I've got all this money. Like, what do? I got all this money. Then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. So I'll just open more bank accounts. Like, I'll just have places to stuff my money. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods, and I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. You fool, you're a fool. You'll die this very night, then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. It's very interesting that Jesus says a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. It's incredible when God blesses a believer with a tremendous amount of resources that can use those resources to advance the kingdom and bless others. It's just an incredible thing. But here we have a person who illustrates the way a fool thinks. I can say God called him a fool, right? So please don't call each other fools. Please don't do that. But this man that Jesus says was a fool, we see from this he wanted more. It wasn't enough. How many of you remember Pac-Man from like the 80s? I used to play Pac-Man. I used to get quarters. Then I played Miss Pac-Man too, because it didn't matter. It was Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man, I was good. But we know with the Pac-Man, the game was you ate as many dots as you could, and you just kept eating them, and you go to different levels and eat them, and then the ghosts that chase you got faster and faster, and the whole thing is you ate dots until you ran out of lives, right? It's all the game was, right? And so this man's like a Pac-Man. Like, he just devoured this, just more. Like, it's not enough. So it kind of gets back to what Dr. Jamal said, is that when you desire something above God, is it ever enough? I mean, is it ever enough? Like, if you desire something above God. And so the man wanted a life of ease. God wasn't his priority. Loving people wasn't his priority. Serving his family wasn't his priority. Like Jesus said it in his own words, he calls himself his friend, and he goes, I've stored away all these resources. I don't ever have to work again. So now party on. Let's party on. I'll sit back, be happy, eat, drink, party. It's awesome, right? I've done my time, raised my money. I'm good. So really, if you think about it, his security was in his money. That's where his security was. But here's the problem. My money can't buy my health. I mean, maybe my money can help me. If I had enough money, I could get some kind of, like, I could get take certain medicines, and I can buy certain equipment, and I can do all that stuff. But eventually, you're going to get sick and die, right? This is what's going to happen. And eventually your money will do you no good, because you'll ultimately not be here, right? You're ultimately going to die. Amen. And so the truth is, the only real security we have is God. It's the only real security we have, right? So you can have a we in the last couple months we've seen the market go down, right? And then the market come back up, right? And then people are stressing about their, like, savings and their retirement. And I understand. I didn't like the way my number was going either, right? But at the end of the day, my security doesn't come from my retirement. Mm-hmm. My security comes from God, right? That's where it comes from. And so he was looking, the fool looks for security in the wrong places. And there's only one ultimate place to get it. And that's God. Because everything else is temporary. including money. So he didn't think about some things. And I encourage you to think about this. If you can transform the way you think about your money, then that's the first step in using your kingdom resources correctly. He didn't think about the fact that God owned it. He didn't think about it. It didn't even occur to him. He didn't think about giving any of it away, did he? I'm not saying you have to give it all away, but he didn't think about giving any of it away. Like, he's going to store it. Like, he is going to store it. He's going to keep his stuff in his barns. It'll be like us keeping all our stuff in the bank account and not giving any of it to help anyone. And he certainly didn't think about eternity. Didn't think about any of that. And so I think it's important that we think about these things when it comes to handling our money. Listen, if God's blessing you with money, that's great. And he certainly expects you to use it well and has no problem with you feeding yourself and taking care of your family and paying your bills on time. The Bible says it's a wicked man that doesn't pay his debts. Look, I didn't call anybody wicked. I'm just saying it's the Bible says, right? But the point is that God expects us to use some of that to bless others. He expects that. Christian, you have to determine your priorities. So if you're a believer, you have to determine your priorities. Like, that's a determination is an active step that you would take. It's active. So if you're going to handle your money right, your first priority has to be God. Has to be. Proverbs 3:9, it says, the Christian's first priority should be God. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. So you honor the Lord with your money, but you also honor the Lord with the best part of everything you produce. Like when I go to work and do my job, I should be honoring the Lord, right? Yes. My best production, I should be honoring the Lord. If I'm doing stuff around the house for my wife, I should do it to the best of my ability. I should honor God in that. If I'm serving my son who has those disabilities I was telling you about, I should honor God in that. Not make it an idol, not make that autism an idol. Recognize that God is number one, but honor God in how I serve. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So your first priority should be God. It's in how you view it. And the priority is stated in the passage is honor with the wealth and best part of everything you produce. So in other words, God shouldn't get the leftovers. It's not what God should do. So if you're going to handle your resources correctly, understand you got to pay your bills, understand all of that stuff. But the Bible says that we're to bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord your God. So God does expect us to give some, correct? God does expect that. He expects that. And why do we do it? Why are we supposed to give some away? Why are we supposed to give generously? Why are we supposed to give to our local church? Why are we supposed to do that? Well, gratitude is one. I mean, we were bought with a price, right? I mean, Jesus went and suffered and died, and I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to endure a Roman crucifixion, right? Gratitude for what he's done for us. And here's the important thing about handling your money this way. When you start giving, you express faith that God will provide for your needs. You start to understand that God will provide for your needs. One of the biggest mistakes we can make as a believer is think we would love to give, but there's no way we can. You can always give something, right? Mm-hmm. You can always give something. And also, you'll find that when you start giving, that will increase your faith and you'll recognize your ability to give more,
amen,
right? Yeah. And everybody can be in different stages in that. And so a lot of that is learning that that's true. And so I just want to encourage you, wherever you're at in your life's journey in that, just start where you're at. Because ultimately, when you start giving this way, God will grow your capacity and your desire to give. You'll start to recognize some things. Then God makes a promise. Not of abundance, not that crazy, whacked out, prosperity gospel that's no gospel at all, right? Amen. Make that clear, right? Make that clear, right? Not talking about that. But he says, then I'll fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine, Proverbs 3:10. This is not a promise of abundance. It's a promise of sufficiency. That God is faithful, right? This isn't you give and you're going to be rich. This isn't what we're talking about. The Bible does teach if we're obedient, God will bless us. If we're obedient in our giving, God will bless us. But, you know, he's God. He gets to choose. But I don't get to choose how I'm blessed, right? God gets to choose how I'm blessed, right? And God knows what's good for me, and God knows what's not good for me,
amen.
Right? Like, God knows. Like, so I would love to be, like, have millions and millions and millions of dollars. I would love that. But you know what I would love more? I would love my son to not have a disability, right? I'd love that more. And so we think about these things ultimately that God's going to bless us, but God's going to bless us in the way he chooses. But if we do handle our money right, Scripture does say God will bless us. If we handle our money according to... It's kind of like if you treat your wife the way God will want you to, God will bless you. If you work on your job the way that God will want you to, God will bless you. If you're treating your kids the way God wants you to, God will bless you, right? We know this. Blessing is so intricately tied to obedience, isn't it?
Amen.
So if we're obedient to God and humble before God, then we open ourselves up to receiving from God what he wants us to have. So your second priority should be your family. Proverbs 17:1, better a dry crust eaten in peace than a house filled with feasting and conflict. So if we don't get this right, we're not going to handle our money right. If we just don't get this right, we're not going to handle our money right. We're to be godly husbands and fathers. Women are to be godly wives and mothers. And we should seek to raise our children in a way that they would be pointed to God, that they would be taught to honor God. No, they have to accept Jesus on their own, just like all of us, right?
Amen.
So I got three boys. My two older ones, they've been taught all of this, and I wish that they've professed faith in Jesus, but it's not like they're active. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But I take great comfort in what the Bible says and raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old he won't depart from it. I wish that when he was old wasn't there, and he would just do it, and they would just do what they're supposed to do. But the bottom line is that we're to prioritize our families, okay? And if you can't do that, how are you going to handle your money right? Now, we have to understand the requirement of work, okay? Scripture is very clear about it. Proverbs 13:11 is an interesting verse, and you can read it. I chose this translation, but you can read it in other translations. It basically says the same thing. Wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. So God wants us, God gives you the ability to work. He wants you to work hard, right? Now, sometimes we go through seasons where we lose our jobs or we get sick and all those things. I believe God understands that. But the point is, we are whatever we're called to do, we're to work hard, right? We're to work hard. And God allows Christians to be partners with him. And God's part is to meet our needs, and your part's to work, right? So Philippians 4:19, then the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. You get the theme of this? Over and over again, what you have is given to you by God. God is blessing you with what you have, right? Man's part is to work. Even when we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. So in other words, we are called to work, right? We're called to work. So we have to understand some things about work. When we talk about work, there are days when you don't feel like getting up and going to work, right? You don't feel like it sometimes. But it was one of God's original purposes for man. The Lord God placed man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. That was before the fall, okay? That was before the fall. So just to be clear, the reason why you have to work isn't because Adam and Eve sinned, okay? That was before the work. Adam had a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, sin distorts, and so it creates all kinds of distortion. But the bottom line is, understand that you may have a job and you may experience sinful things on your job and you may not like your job and all of that stuff, but it was one of God's original purposes was to have a job. Okay? And so we should seek as believers to be good at it, right? Should really be try to be good at our job. Try to be the best at our job. We need to place the proper value on being honest. How are you going to handle your money right if you're not honest? How are you going to do that? You ever had those situations where you've, and this has happened to me, where you're in your prayer life and you're praying to God and your Holy Spirit convicts you and God tells you you're not being honest with me? You ever had that experience? I've had that experience for sure. You know, Tom, you're not being honest with me. Greed brings grief to the whole family. Greed brings grief to the whole family. But those who hate bribes will live. Proverbs 15:27. So the Bible's serious about this. Don't be greedy. Don't be greedy. Honesty builds respect. And honesty builds trust. Honesty enhances relationships with the family, within your family, with the church and community. You're to handle your money honestly. To handle your relationships honestly. If you're not going to handle your relationships honestly, if you're not going to be in your relationship, if you're not going to be in an honest relationship with God, how are you going to handle your money right? How are you going to do that? How are you possibly going to do that? So this is really, really critical in terms of understanding how to handle your money. Listen, we're supposed to save and invest, right? We're supposed to. The Bible teaches this. Proverbs 21:20, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. Now, I feel bad for our young people today. I do, for many reasons, but one of them is this. When I went to college at the University of Maryland, you know what my tuition was a semester? For the young people, I don't want to make you mad at me. I don't want to make you mad at me, okay?
2000.
My tuition was lower than that.
Yeah, it was $500 a semester?
It was $800 a semester to go to University of Maryland, and I got a senatorial scholarship that brought every semester down to $700. Wow. Okay? Right. $700. Now you go to Maryland, it's like, what, $35,000 a year? Yeah. It's some crazy number, and then students have to take loans, and then they're subjected to loans, and the cost of medical care is so much higher, and we know what the cost of housing is. We've never seen housing more unaffordable than it is today. Because when house prices go up, renters are like, what costs more to get in the house so we can raise our rents, right? And so it's just the cost of living. And so some people can feel like, how do I save? Right? How do I save? Because I'm spending almost everything I have. Well, saving is a discipline. So I would say, even if it's a little, just start where you're at. Because it's kind of like building habits is kind of like lifting weights or running or swimming or riding a bike, right? It can be hard at first, but then you can do more than you think you can, right? And the only way you know that you can lift those weights, no one can tell you. You have to do it, right? Mike is a swimmer, right? So no one can... I imagine the first time you swam, you didn't swim as well as you do today, right? And so I ride a stationary bike every day, like all the time. And I'm excited what I can do now. When I first started, I didn't think I could ever do that. Right? Does that make sense? And so it's kind of like these habits are the same thing. So I feel bad for people. They feel like, damn, well, if you do a little bit, maybe you can do a little more. And here's the thing. When you start thinking this way, the way that I'm talking about, you will start to realize, maybe I'm using some money in ways that I shouldn't. Maybe some things that are not God-honoring. Maybe some things that are unproductive. And you start producing other disciplines like saving or giving, and you start to shift. Does that make sense? But you can be told, you can be taught all this stuff, but you have to experience it for yourself, right? Like, no one had to tell me I loved my wife. I just knew, right? Like, it wasn't like I woke up one day and decided, I'm going to love Shelly, right? It just, I can't point out the exact day to you that I knew I loved Shelly. I can't. Now you know my wife's name is Shelley, right? I don't know the day. I don't know the exact minute, the exact second that I fell in love with Shelley. I just know that it happened, right? I just know that it happened. And it probably wasn't the result of one event. It was probably the result of thousands of little interactions, right? Thousands of little interactions. And I just, oh, I'm in love with Shelley. Well, it's kind of like money in this way. It's like you do these things and it's like, oh, I can do this. Oh, I can save a little bit. Oh, I can give some. Does that make sense? Oh, I'm doing this. It's working out. Those sorts of things. Bible talks about money in terms of the wife of noble character. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. And it even references ants. Did you know the Bible talks about ants? You lazy people can learn. I'm not calling you all lazy, okay? It's the Bible. Sorry. You lazy people can learn by watching an anthill. Ants don't have leaders, but they store up food during the harvest season. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8. Listen, we're supposed to share, right? We're supposed to share, okay? Bible says in Proverbs 19, 17, caring for the poor is lending to the Lord, and you will be well repaid. So God says that when you care for the poor, you're like actually lending. You're like the lender. You're caring. You're lending. And God says, they're not going to repay you. I'm going to repay you. I'm going to repay you. When you care for the poor, you will be well repaid. You're not going to be repaid by them. But God's going to repay you in the ways that He chooses to repay you. So one of the ways that God repays you when you care for the poor is your capacity to love grows. There's no other way about it. When you start caring for people that can't help themselves, and you start feeling like concern for those people, and you empathize with those people, and you serve those people, you eventually your capacity to love grows. And look at the investment. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:31, those who oppress the poor insult their maker, but helping the poor honors him. So can I just like put like a Tom spin on this translation a little bit? Is that okay? It says those who oppress the poor insult their maker. So basically when you like oppress the poor, you spit in the face of God. That's what you're doing. But God says that we encounter the poor and we help the poor, honors him. God expects us to use our resources beyond us. He expects to use our resources to help other people. Now, we can have a class. I can get together with y'all and we can have a class about this is how much you get paid and this is like maybe ways that you should spend your money and a certain percentage should go here and a certain percentage should go there. Then here's plans. And I do classes like that. But my point in this class is just to give you the biblical principles so you're ready to do stuff like that. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
Because without understanding this kind of stuff, how would you stick to those plans, right? If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, God asks a question. He's like, if you have enough money, you see people in need, and you don't care, how can God's love be in that person? Like how? You know, the scripture says if this is your condition, how can God's love be in you if this is your condition? Listen, we know that Paul said when we were with you, we gave you the command, those unwilling to work will not get to eat. So can I tell you a true story? Tell you a true story. So, remember that event, World War II? Historically, this little event, World War II. So, the Nazi regime had overrun Western Europe. They couldn't take Britain, and they eventually were pushed back, right? They invaded Russia, that failed, they eventually pushed back, and they eventually lost. But there was a lot of damage done to Europe. Bombings. you know, you can't march hundreds of thousands of soldiers through with bombs and things and not have buildings damaged and families ripped apart and people dying, right? More people than soldiers died, right? There were civilians that died, plenty of them. And a lot of infrastructure was damaged. And so one of the things about the war was that there were actually a lot of orphans, as you can imagine, right? A lot of orphans in the streets of Europe because parents were killed. And so there was an orphan, the true story. There was an orphan that was seen by an American soldier. And he was standing outside of a pastry shop, true story. And the boy was obviously hungry because where was he getting his food, right? Where was he getting, only imagine where he's getting his food, right? And so he's hungry and he's got his face pressed up against the window of the pastry shop. And the baker is in there making donuts. And the kid's watching this. And the kid was groaning, like, you know, he really wanted it. And the soldier could have just left, walked by. But the soldier asked the boy a question. It's like, do you want some of these? So what do you think the boy said? Yep, sure do. Yeah, I do, right? So the American soldier, which is nothing to him, he goes in there and he buys a dozen donuts. And he gives them to the boy. And he just started to walk away. So as he's walking away, the boy tugs at his military coat, the long coat, tugs at it. And the soldier turns around and the boy asks him an interesting question. He looks at the soldier. He called him Mister. He says, Mister, are you God? Pretty powerful, right? Like, the point is this, is that we're never more like God than when we give. Mm-hmm. Never more like God than when we give. Mm. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave. That he gave. So we're never more like God than when we give. Okay? So I would encourage you, when you handle your money, recognize that. You gotta meet your bills, you gotta meet your obligations and all that, but you're never more like God than when you give. And it's not just about giving your money. It's about giving your time. It's about giving your compassion. It's about really caring. All of those kinds of things. And if you start to excel at things like that, you will handle your money better. Because it's going to naturally flow out of who you have become. And so I just want to encourage you with that.